Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the big Destiny 2 leak and going over all the Age of Triumph news. Joining me today is CJ Gibson on my right.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella over here.
Hey, Guardians.
Sean Finnegan over there.
What's up, everyone?
Guys, we got to talk about Destiny 2.
Yeah!
It's out of the bag.
It is.
Thanks, Italy.
Yeah, whoever that was.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So Ciao. A poster was leaked. It's all over the internet.
Two posters.
Two different posters. I mean, this seems pretty legit. It features three human guardians in a new set of armor, and it looks like it is coming this year. Sean.
I just want to point out, it doesn't say 2017 on those posters.
It just says September.
It just says September 8th.
Man, just clinging to that hope. At this
I mean,
point.
I will say, yeah.
Just for clarifications, like, I'm not really dying on this hill over here. I just think it's funny at this point.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, all.
It's going to be funny when I didn't. There's steak dinner coming from somebody.
Indications.
Sean, find us all steaks.
All indications point to the fact that it will be coming out this year.
That's
I'm just
news.
That jaded gamer who's like, I'll believe it when I see it.
That's right. That's not a bad approach to take. And by the way, you know, I've gone through this with CJ.
Yes.
Stuff gets delayed sometimes still, but they seem pretty.
There's a date
it's
on
just
a poster.
A leak. It's
I
a
would
leak.
Be pretty surprised.
Interestingly, and I think we'll probably jump into the posters, right? But like you mentioned three human guardians. How do we know? If you haven't seen the posters, it's because none of these guardians are wearing their helmets.
Yeah. All helmetless guardians. They have new looking armor on. But let's talk about that. The fact that they are all human. Do you think there's something there story-wise? Do you think this could be a prequel? We'll start with you.
Ooh. So when we were looking at the Destiny 1 stuff and everybody was wearing helmets on a lot of that stuff. I don't think so. I think that's the biggest thing. Do people think it's going to, you know, completely eliminate, you know, the current three classes? No. I think it's going to be same three. Humans only prequel? No. I would say it's still a continuation of what Destiny is.
All right. What about you guys?
I think there's probably some conspiracy theory stuff going on there when people are like, oh, is it a prequel? Like, is this all humans? Like, I am not a lore expert by any means, but I think that the races like of Exo and Awoken happened after the collapse. Like, the collapse is what caused those things to happen. The Awoken, like, went off and lived in space and then became the Awoken. So
sort of.
I think that this is just there's three guardians and they all happen to be human.
Yeah,
I mean, for starters, right, they said you can carry your face over to the next game. They've confirmed that.
Know. Like, I'm an Exo, so my Exo will be in Destiny 2.
You're my Exo.
Oh, my God. Destiny.
I'll be here all weekend.
Dad jokes.
Anyway, so, yeah, for starters, we know that. So, yes, I don't think it's affecting that. What I made the note of, you know, I made it on my Twitter. I said it, the human angle or whatever. It's like, it's the marketing angle. It's that there might have been – so if you look at Rise of Iron, you look at Taken King, you look at the poster and cover art for all this stuff, helmets on. Iconically, that's a Titan. Iconically, that's a Warlock. That's how they messaged a lot. Now, granted, this is the only first thing out the door, but what I see is just the angle to say, hey, you're – You can be a human. You can be a real face. We have a story here as well.
Yeah.
These could be characters that are going to play a part. And so I think it's all that messaging, but it's not – I never intended it to be, and I don't think Bungie intends it to be like, well, they didn't even release messaging yet officially. But they're not saying like, oh, it's going away. The message that I'm trying to focus on, like, oh, this is really interesting. They made sure all the helmets are off for the first thing to come out the door, seemingly. Or maybe it's just about Italians. Well, and they love faces. I don't know.
Right, right.
I like your face.
Kotaku has said that we're going to get something soon. We don't know when exactly, but I assume this was supposed to launch with some sort of marketing material from Bungie officially, and it got out the door early. I mean, the fact that they have posters at a GameStop in Italy.
So that's an interesting thing. I think you're absolutely right. Like, we probably would have seen a trailer or an official announcement come alongside this kind of stuff. But why posters at a GameStop? Like, GameStop is retail. We're months away from a retail release. Like, just whose idea was that?
On the poster, didn't it look like there was a beta also?
In the bottom right hand corner.
Talked about a PlayStation 4 beta, it seemed.
Yeah. Exclusive.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, it says.
Yeah, the rumor is that in June, and it seems at E3, and it's available on Tuesday, it'll be that whole thing. It's going to be for PlayStation fans for the first week or two. I'm making that part up, but it seems like that's the rumor out there.
Yeah.
But just to comment on the timing here, I mean, look, it's March 28th, Age of Triumph comes out. We've been talking about this for a lot. When do we think we're going to hear about it? Yeah. What's the release schedule? I've been sticking to that whole, like, look, Call of Duty is very commonly announced for pre-order, for everything blown up in April. It was in May before. They've been moving it up. They have a very set schedule for the way they open up the doors, tease stuff, and boom, you can pre-order.
So you're saying Call of Duty is April?
Well, so normally. So, again, what I was getting at is I always speculated somewhere before or after that, you know, Destiny 2 would be coming. And so it seems to me where I'm leading with this is it looks to me like Destiny 2 is going to be the first big thing out the door. It's a big, important franchise for them, and they don't want to get it drowned out by, honestly, I think pre-orders for Call of Duty. So I think all that plays together. That's why you see the posters. They want to get Destiny 2 out the door. So I expect it very soon, and not just because Jason, you said that at Kotaku, but just based on we're getting into April at this point. And Call of Duty's got to be coming short after that.
Here's the thing that really sucks. I feel like the Age of Triumph stuff is going to give us some exciting stuff to talk about for a few weeks, and it's totally been overshadowed by this Destiny 2 leak now. People are like, oh, Age of Triumph, the raid sets look really cool. We'll talk about it in a second. But then it's just like, Destiny 2's coming, everybody.
But you know what? There's the other way to look at that, which is it's a reason to play this and be excited again.
Yeah.
I would have honestly expected it not long after the release. Like, again, they just need to get it out the door. And honestly, it seems like that's what happened. Like, they probably planned it for like a few weeks from now or a week from now. Who knows? And like, oops, it got leaked because you shouldn't send posters to GameStop Italian.
Don't send anything.
You know,
just kidding. It'll.
Yeah. I'm Italian, by the way.
I mean, there's always that perspective or that side of talking about leaks. Like, it's kind of interesting because as fans, we're always like hungry for new information and new news. And obviously, if you run a show like we do, like it gives us something new to talk about.
Yeah.
But like for the devs. Did you see the tweet that Luke Smith put out?
Oh, yeah.
After like, that? It's a Taylor Swift gif, like of her rolling her eyes. Like,
yeah.
And of course, for them, like it ruins the plans. It ruins their ability to control the messaging.
Yeah.
And in a way, it also, like, it may actually end up taking away from the hype that, if done properly, they would have been able to generate going forward. So who's to say that it is actually a good thing in the long run? Like, you got to take the bad with the good in that way.
Yeah, Deej kind of alluded that in the last, like, I can't remember the line that he said, you know, this is it for now or something in the update, but I feel bad in a way. Like, I'm excited seeing that poster,
I don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad, but it is one of those things where I would have loved for this leak to have come, like, a week later, 2 weeks after.
Really? Why do you say that?
Well, because I think it does take away from it a little bit. Like, I was super excited about all this stuff.
You don't want to know? You didn't want to know when Destiny 2 was coming, like, last year?
I'm not saying I don't want to know. I'm just saying I think the excitement and the way it did, the way that they potentially would have released it, now I'm wondering, because obviously we're all debating whether or not this is – we're not debating if this is real or not. It all seems like it's fairly
– yeah, we don't know.
Two different sources.
But it's same all poster, but confirmed it's real.
Different posters.
Yeah. So, again, I'm not saying it's bad, but, if it was a week or two later, after Age of Triumph, that would have been, I think, maybe a little.
Sure, but I'm, you know, I'm going to play the card of like, and I've done exclusive news reporting here at IGN. Like, it's our job to find that stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
If I find out, yes, by the way, there's a weight to, if you're going to go out with that news and yeah, it negatively impacts marketing, their stocks, whatever, but it's your job to inform the audience. And so again, I don't think it's a bad thing, but if you're just saying as like
a
fan, I guess.
Oh, it's a bad thing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm no, but on actually, I think, you know, maybe that's a discussion for later. But it's like, how bad is it? Can you name any examples that were really bad where this happened? And it's like, it never
recovered. Some people think these leaks are on purpose.
Yeah,
right.
And that's like, part of it too. Just brings up the hype for a product.
Yeah, some people take the other angle. Yeah. But seriously, can you point to any campaigns? I'm sure there's been a few where, just like we're saying, it caused confusion. It's humans only. And they're like, it's not. We told you that, you know, you can carry your faces for it. But how bad is it really? Can you think of any examples where this happened and it's like, wow, they never really recovered. Nobody played Destiny 2.
Well, it's interesting because
like Kane's leaked.
Big PR leaks like this, I guess you only ever really talk about them in terms of big, awesome releases. So like, it's hard to kind of point to an example of where something like this would have happened that impacted the game negatively because the games almost always go on to be successful anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So again, I'm not saying it's ideal, and I think that's your point, CJ.
We've talked a lot about strategy.
But just like, okay, bring it in-house. Like,
all right, sounds good.
IGN, too bad,
IGN's accidentally leaked news or gotten things wrong before. Like, how do we feel when that happens? Like, not good, right?
Yeah. Dumb. We shouldn't do that. But what you're referring to is when we've been given the information by the publishers. This is not that.
Or gotten information wrong.
Yeah, meaning this wasn't a news outlet that was supposed to be holding the info till like whenever it was going to come out. This is literally.
Well, maybe GameStop Italy shouldn't.
It wasn't GameStop though, was it?
Stop. Yeah. That's what I said, right?
But whatever the case, you could definitely take any side. There's multiple sides to take here. Like, honestly, yeah.
Well, I'm going to take the side of a fan and we're going to stop talking about whatever you guys are talking about. So let's discuss how we feel about Destiny 2. As a product and where we think they're going to go with it. So they seem to be in a desert-like Mars area. What do you think is going to happen? Are they fighting to take back the tower?
It could have been the wall as well, right? Yeah. I mean, it could be Earth.
Like we've heard from multiple sort of rumblings that this is going to be Cabal-focused, right? So like that would make sense why it appears to be Mars.
Totally agree.
Yeah, they didn't get any like special love the way every other planet got in the original game. So.
Except in the Shield Brothers.
Yeah, that's true.
Which remains the best strike in the last like year.
That's true. But from a raid standpoint. You know?
Well, just from a storytelling standpoint.
It has me stoked that if they are starting with the Cabal, and they are starting on Mars, I'm just like, yes, like I finally get that one piece of the puzzle that I didn't get with the first Destiny. I get to learn more about their world and what they do.
And also, Destin,
the best song in the game.
Thinking about it a little more, I like the idea that it would go to Mars. I think there's some good angles there, which is like we right now as human beings think a lot about Mars. Yeah. And like I think there's like a bit of a human connection, meaning starting on Earth, we kind of already did, right? And so it kind of makes sense to go to this next destination. It almost seems a little real, even though it's space magic. So I like that angle for sure. I hesitate to say vote for the Cabal. I just don't like them as tanks and characters personally,
Destiny.
You didn't find the Shield Brothers like the stuff about the Cabal in the Shield Brothers
story mission? Aside.
Is it because they?
I mean, the character designs.
You?
Yes, but by the way, one of the most satisfying things in Destiny when I first started playing it was when you headshot the Cabal, the like inky oil.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Was awesome. One of my favorite things. So,
definitely.
But anyway,
or you're farming for glimmer, and they take their shield, and then and you're
you're
the map
gone.
Like, a few hundred feet.
Yeah,
it's just like character design. They're so tanky.
Well, I mean, just like we kind of know a lot about the Fallen, and we kind of know a lot about the Vex, and we learned a few awesome little things about the Cabal in the Shield Brothers mission.
Like they've crashed and like they're not allowed to leave because there's no retreat. You just die.
Yeah, like
that's how
Cade says a bunch of things like you can't – the only way to return to the Cabal kingdom or empire is by winning the war you've been assigned to win.
Yeah.
Which is so cool. Like just – I don't know. They're very militaristic. Like
they're not going to win this one.
Warfaring enemy. Like that's so cool.
Yeah. And worth saying, obviously what we know about Destiny, it's not like it's just Mars and then it's the Cabal. It's like there could be several factions there. And who are they fighting?
I'm sure they will.
No, all new characters, by the way, right? Probably.
The Rhino Cabal that we saw in the
concept art.
The concept art.
All right. Well, let's talk about current events. Age of Triumph was revealed in its entirety, well, for the most part, this week. We got to see the new raid armors. We got to see the new raid weapons. And we got to see what those ornaments look like when they're activated. What did you guys think of the reveal? Raid weapons, let's start there. There's 16 of them, and there's adept versions.
Yeah, 16 adept versions, exactly, which means they're exotic.
Elemental.
And they get to carry the elemental. That's the big piece of info that we got this week.
You're going to get your Fatebringer.
Yep.
Yes.
But that was really interesting in how they handled it. They said, well, we are bringing back elemental as exotic slot. Yeah. That immediately doesn't play well with me. I understand how they're balancing it out and the thinking there. Like they clearly just are concerned with the overuse of it. But just taking any mode, PvP, PvE, I'm like, but I want to use Fatebringer and Plan C, and I did that all the time.
Right.
Now I have to choose. Plus, you know, we're going to get into the whole vault space thing later. I just think it's a bit much. Like, what's the big deal?
Well, I think it's a good compromise, right? Because they took away primary burns because they kind of messed up the sandbox.
Did they?
Yeah, totally.
How? Wasn't that bad?
Prison.
It's like
the event.
I know, but
not
broke the whole
prison,
game.
Skoloth,
like,
basically. People would go in and melt Skoloth.
Big deal.
And they're like, we got to get rid of these primaries.
But it worked that way with, like, the Nightfall, with, like, the heroics. Like, when that burn was on, like, sometimes you just have random weapons that, like, you didn't know you wanted to use but had. And then, like, they'd be totally killer in those things for, like, that 1 week.
But you can still do active. It.
But I wish they would have got rid of it. It doesn't make any sense that they got rid of it ever. Like, it didn't mess up PvP. PvE was fine.
Well,
you
kind
of had fun nuking people. But I don't think it was that big of a deal they just made this decision. They're like, nope, they're too powerful. We got to get rid of them. And I'm like, why? Because we're having fun?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like it got
such
me.
A weird decision to me. Yeah.
It didn't get me playing
more.
For
a lot of people it did. But I get where their perspective is on this. And so if you accept the premise that, okay, Burns kind of messed things up. Elemental damage on primaries kind of mess things up. Then this is a nice compromise, which is okay. You still get it back because that's what makes them special. But now they're also an exotic.
Yeah, what about you?
So the issue is vault space, and again, I think you're saying it messes it up from a PvP standpoint because now you feel like you need to get two weapons
and PvE, but definitely PvP.
Yeah, and so for me, it's like I'm excited that they're back. I don't think there's going to be a grind unless some raid weapon comes out as like the new meta for PvP.
Vex Mythic class,
exactly. Like I don't care. You know?
I was going to say aside from Vex, which wrecked for like 2 weeks when it first came out in PvP. What of these exotics strikes you as something that might be really good in PvP?
Shotguns are.
Yeah, it's less about that for me. Again, it's just like forcing me to now choose, and I have like a loadout, and like, maybe I'm using Icebringer with Fatebringer. And again, that's a perfect example in PvE where I'm like, come on. And like, I can't just use both. You're killing me.
It's really weird to me when you guys say that, like, I have too many choices. I don't know what to do.
There's no vault space. It's not what it's about.
If it's about the vault space thing, that I understand.
That's not what I'm saying.
From the same thing. What are you saying then?
Saying I have to take my Icebreaker out of the mix in PvE now if I want to use my Fatebringer with the elemental damage.
You say that about any weapon, though. Oh, I got to take my Icebreaker out of the mix because I got to use a shotgun in this.
Per what you just said, what was the big deal anyway?
Are you guys not always swapping weapons out? Like, depending on the fight, I'll swap out my weapons.
That's my point. I'm now limited in my choice, my loadout choice, because I can't have two exotics in there.
Ah, because of the exotic.
The exotic.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because of the adept.
So,
but you're making that choice now.
No, but basically,
not with my Fatebringer.
Yeah, every single raid weapon prior to that was an exotic, besides Vex. So Vex was the only one that had solar burn and it was exotic. So there's not going to be a legendary Vex.
Let me give an example. I'm trying to think of the best example, but whatever. I used Atheon's Epilogue, for the elemental burn. Atheon. we had this discussion on the show. They said it twice now in the trailers with that accent.
That's just the speaker being a moron.
Atheon.
It's his fault.
I love using that in Vault of Glass. Love using it in Vault of Glass because of the Praetorians and stuff and the Void Burns. So it's like fun, man.
Yeah.
And the point is, if I wanted to rock, I was trying to think of a Void class exotic that I might want to rock in there. But just assume that I want to. I can't now. because I have to choose. And that's all I'm saying. Like, I just don't like having to choose. And yeah, you could say like, well, how many times is it going to be an issue? Like, I don't know.
We do know that about you.
It's an inconvenience. It's an inconvenience. But
I love the choice. I think that's kind of a weird critique personally. I understand the vault space thing.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, you're constantly juggling an exotic in your primary slot versus your special slot versus your heavy slot anyway.
You like for the every scenario. Strategy.
You always have to.
Yeah, you have to make a concession or make a strategy. Like, yeah. Sometimes it's like, okay, I want to use my Galahorn here, but if I do, that means I can't use my Black Spindle. Like, I have that discussion all the time on.
No, I know, but I didn't have to do it before with these weapons.
Right, he's basically saying, yeah, in the primary
that's crazy
slot,
that you
it was
never
always
had before. Like,
with
if you're,
these
if you're
weapons,
doing King's Fall. If you're doing King's Fall and you got that exotic primary.
Now, but time out. I'm only talking about Word of Crota and Atheon's Epilogue.
If you don't like choosing,
and those
you should
weapons,
just always use Meta Multitool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not saying it's the end of the world, by the way. It was just a discussion.
I'm just
point.
The end of the
I'm
world.
I'm surprised that you're worried about it because I do it all the time anyway. I have loadouts for every scenario.
I mean, the cool factor is they are now exotics, and then now there's ornaments and stuff too out there, yeah. Right? And so
oh, I really like
benefit.
The new looks.
Yeah.
To like each of the weapons.
Yeah, like Touch of Malice, they showed some new ornaments and stuff. So look, there definitely is a positive side to this. I'm just personally, that was my initial thing was, it was Vault as well as like, oh, you're going to make me choose.
Can we move on to armor? Because that new armor looks
okay,
dope.
So talking about look, immediate reaction, the new armor looks awesome.
Yeah,
it looks really, really cool.
There's a Reddit thread that Crota's has end. All 144 screenshots of all the weapons and the armor pieces. And there's some really cool stuff in there. Like the hunters get this like Vex leg.
Yeah.
Like, that looks cool. The Titan, the new Sivified Titan armor looks awesome. Like, it's kind of evaporating at the same time.
Yeah, like almost
it's energy that's, like, bursting out and, you know, it's almost like two dimensions.
Yeah, like,
and
the
and
new
if you're all glowing, you get shot, it disperses, then comes back.
Yeah, like, the ornamentation stuff really looks so detailed and, like, very, very cool. Like, currently, I've said this before, but I really like the Wrath of the Machine Titan armor, but the ornamentations aren't that cool. Like, I have, one, they don't drop a lot, and two, they don't look that cool.
Like, really?
Your
I
arms,
like the glow.
It glows a little bit more, but not any, like, no one actually notices it. You know, it doesn't glow enough to where people notice it, I think. But then, if you look at these new screenshots, like, the ornamentations are so extravagant.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Crota's one for Titans, like, you have these huge horns and, like, big shoulder, like, spikes that go out to, like, there. I love that. That's awesome.
That's what I want.
Because it's obnoxious.
We haven't heard much from you. What's your favorite armor set?
So the favorite one of all of them is definitely the Vault Warlock. That is the coolest design one. Yeah, just a little wavy kind of particle effects. Like, as far as, like, a design standpoint, that one blew my mind. I thought that was amazing. The Hunter stuff always looks good. So, again, I'm loving the Hunter Vault, but thinking about them in PvP versus PvE, I can't see me rocking really any of this kind of stuff for PvP. It's too loud.
It's too glowy.
It's like, hey, here I am.
But what if you're crushing it?
You're
crushing
it. I will say, it's you know, the Siva stuff probably looks to be about the best kind of PvP because it blends in with most of the environmental things. But in a whole, the Crota effects and when you get hit and then it kind of disappears, it's all super cool.
Well, you already have your T12 set. You'll probably rock for PvP.
I was just thinking about it. I'm like, you're like crouching around a corner, like waiting for someone to come in, and your horn like grew out, and you don't know now.
Oh, no.
Clearly, you're sitting in the corner.
Yeah. So it's cool. I love all the designs. I can see it being more of a PvE type thing, and lining up and doing cool videos. And that's the other thing. You know, the community does really, really well. Is that as soon as there's these new gear out, you know, you see the community videos and all this kind of stuff. So I'm excited to see those elements come into play. Here because there is some really cool looking gear.
Definitely. So let's read what they Reddit has collected about the gear. The new raids feature updated armor pieces which hold a new ornamental node. These nodes can be filled with an Age of Triumph ornament, causing visual changes/effects to your updated Vogue, Crota, King's Fall, Wrath of the Machine armor pieces. Old/current armor will not be updated to be infused/take the new ornaments. So Vogue Year 1 gear is just that, and Wrath of the Machine gear will need to be reacquired to take the AOT ornaments.
Yep.
So vault space is going to be a major issue. You basically, as you get gear, you got to delete your vault gear if you choose to. And, man, that's just going to be rough.
Yeah, like you got to get rid of your old.
That's a nice statement
for us collectors who collect all the sets, and we have sets that we like. And you probably have a bunch
tower
of like,
casuals,
your
I mix
tower
and match
casuals,
all the time, man.
And it's just kind of like, All right. Stuff's going to have to go.
This is now – is literally do or die. It's unresolved, and you're just going to have to delete stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, we only have the small gimme of like, well, Destiny 2 is almost here. I can live with it. CJ probably won't be able to handle it.
It hurts. I won't.
Not even going to get into like the crap I got to deal with every time I play with this guy. Can I go to the tower? Can I go to the vault? Are you kidding me?
So
he's really bad. I'm bad.
I am. Wow. But here's the other problem. I said this before when we were talking about grinding Omnigol way back when Rise of Iron came out. I do like now how greens auto decrypt. That should happen with blues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Get rid of them.
Why is there a bunch of blues in my postmaster?
Yeah.
I'm going to do the raid. And I'm going to sit there every time we beat a boss and be like, oh, gosh.
Heavy breathing.
Well, it's because of the leveling, the way it levels, right? Because you can get blues that will actually get you to like 360, I think.
But yeah.
You can get legendaries. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've had a blue, I think, twice in my how many years playing where it's rolled into an exotic. So that was a hot. So
really?
It does,
it does happen.
It happens.
But it's very rare. So at that chance...
But it should just roll into the legendary.
Roll into any armor or gun parts or whatever.
But basically, don't push out exotics and don't push out legendaries that you've gotten your postmaster. Yeah. It should push out blues and greens first.
Yes, but
we don't have the green problem anymore.
Yeah. It's the vault is not big enough. It's that simple. At this point, if you like to keep all that stuff, you know, obviously I think there's plenty of people who are like, I don't use those other weapons. I find what I use.
Tough choices over the last few weeks. Yeah. Let's just say that.
Yeah, like there's a ton of stuff.
I'm like, all right, I can get that one from the Engram. It doesn't have a good roll. I guess I'll get
30% full.
And you're pretty good with it, right? And so, like, that's you're better than
you
guys. Trust me. I'm always at 108.
Like, I make sure every character has two spaces in every slot available for Engrams or whatever.
See, you're totally better.
I'm playing Tetris at the very top of the screen, and I'm just trying to wait for the block.
Tetris attack, actually.
And I'm like,
it's Tetris attack.
Yeah.
But anyway, the vault's just – we already said this a long time ago. Now it's getting way worse, so I dread that.
This is it.
I dread that.
So pick what you want to keep.
Yep. Buy Hopscotch Pilgrim. Buy, the Wounded. I got a bunch of stuff sitting around that I might use someday.
I don't have a problem with weapons. My weapons are fine.
That's so crazy to me. Those weapons, like, I haven't used them ever.
Yeah.
Why would you keep them?
I have some good rolls. I want to use them sometimes, but rarely.
I want to test them.
I don't want to get rid of stuff before I know I don't like it.
Order problems.
Yeah. No, because it has definitely happened.
You are definitely a hoarder.
You get a good roll, and there's certain situations or maps where like it's kind of a better weapon.
So the thing for me, Fran, to your point, is just like I haven't had time to try out all these god rolls that I have. Yeah. CJ saw my ball, and he's like, what? How do you have these? I'm like, I haven't had time to try out that sidearm that has a god roll or that the 15 scouts that I have that have a perfect roll.
And that's the other reason why I think now you think of these raids where you've done them and you have the legendary elemental one like Fatebringer at low rank, which still works in some situations as well as PvP. Am I going to delete that? Probably not.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So it's nice that it's an exotic now, but, because there's a slot, once I get it, I can delete it. But I'm going to have a hard time deleting all that original stuff.
Wait, why? Because you have a problem with the exotic having to use it?
It was so hard to get in year one.
100%. No. Like, but the point is it's the same gun roll.
No. The legendary has the elemental burn in the old one. So I don't want to delete that.
Yeah.
But
you're
going to
use But you're going to use a 170 weapon.
5 minutes ago?
No, I know.
I know. You're talking light level now, but that's the issue. You have that weapon available with the legendary status and the elemental to burn.
Yeah. So if you got to do a quest or something where you're like, go get 50 arc burn kills and you just want to use your primary. I bust out the old gear all the time.
Okay, that's
like,
a good example.
There's a good example.
I can't think of the last time I would have even done a quest.
I have trials.
I mean, I have
That's like a high rate of fire guns, just so I can tear them apart and get those bounties done.
Yeah, yeah, because hard light and Vex are really the only primaries that I can think of off the top of my head that have elemental damage that are exotic. Like I don't think anything else does.
Atheon's epilogue, not an exotic.
but
it has that void damage, and that's why I bust it out. Like when I need to do those void kills.
Yeah, 100%.
And hide in the corner of the crucible with somebody. It's like, so let me shoot you a few times.
Or get in a lobby with your friends. All right, meet you over here. Die.
Good point. But I rarely would do that. But I guess if you're going to take your Fatebringer out to get legendary. I mean, I have 70 arc. I have problems.
I still have my Fatebringer. I won't delete it because I love it. It's my favorite PvE weapon ever. But it's not because I'm not keeping it because I think I'm going to use it again.
Yeah, but that's my point. That's the issue. Some of those weapons took, like, I don't have Praetorian foil.
Yeah.
I played Vault forever. But dude, I was a really hard rifle guy and I've never gotten it.
It's your truth. I got it a year after, like, that vault, that raid had passed, and I was so happy.
I know.
I got mine early. Dude, that thing shredded the oracles, by the way.
It was so good. It was so good.
And even Hawkmoon, like year one. Like, I remember when you got your Hawkmoon that one time with Crota.
I was stoked.
Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, sorry, Sean. Xbox guys. Yeah, I played through all of your Maybe you'll get Zen Meteor someday.
Zer sold it.
He did sell it after a while. But on the drop, I went and played through all year one with no Hawkmoon and got it like a few days before. So that's a possibility that you play these raids. And I like that they're doing that. It's a reason to play the raids every week, come back, try for that. I mean, that's the reason why you play that stuff, is that chance, you know, rolling that slot machine.
Or gear. Dice. A reason to play.
So,
to Fran's point, though, if the beta is coming in June, everybody's going to Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see a tidal wave of people just move on from the
June is pretty far away.
But remember, that's not just going
to June, then September. It's going to come faster than you think.
Yeah, but that'll probably only be up.
And all these vault space woes and everything, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, but that's probably only a weekend or two. Right.
Not for Destiny 1 anymore, because we'll move on to Destiny 2.
Right. It's only a weekend or two.
Right? I'll never move on to Destiny. Problems.
Yeah. I would hope to hell that that's something that they're prioritizing. All right, the inventory thing was a mess. Let's fix that problem.
But, I mean, it seems like such an easy fix.
It does, doesn't it? I think they've...
So, like, if they didn't fix it at all in Destiny 1...
Yeah, but remember,
Destiny 2?
One of the supposed issues is the way it is visually represented, the way you load in those visual representations, the way you inspect and it loads the stuff behind it is all this engine infrastructure that required – you can't just put more spaces in, as I understood it. And so because they didn't unhinge them from that – and that also works in previous gen consoles. There was some commentary on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why they just waited till the next one. Say, you know what? We redid the inventory system entirely in the vault, if there even is one anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I get why, but yeah, they should have given us, I'd rather have out, you can't inspect or something.
I think it's going to be,
you know,
kiosks,
some solution.
Kiosks
always seemed like the answer to me.
Yeah. It'll be like, pick your loadout. Okay.
I think they're going to redo the vault inventory system as well entirely, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that
they said earlier on, they're like, we're surprised how many people wanted to collect things.
Oh,
like,
you
have a bunch of collectors, like, yeah, no kidding.
You're so hard to get, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything's
whole
hard
game
to get.
Is.
So, yeah.
I think you'll have a big database.
That in the sequel.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe there'll be even server side data that kept everything that you can just pull it out.
In game Grimoire.
Imagine everything turned into a blueprint, though, that everything you got stored in some database that if you wanted to pull it off a Bungie net or something.
Book.
So I'd be, but it'd
13 page
book.
Oh,
God.
You know, that requires some data storage, but maybe not that much. But anyway, I do think there's potential I'm confident they will change all that. So I'm not worried about vault space in the next game, but it's too late now anyway. Yeah, why are we even talking about it? Like, it sucks. It sucked.
It's going to be
fun. Sucked 2 years ago.
We'll be talking about it next week after we play the raid.
It's not even a debate. It's stupid.
Yeah.
But
our first topic. When Destiny 2 releases, must be, did they address the vault space?
Did they fix vault
How big
space?
Is the vault?
Yeah, definitely. Guys,
we're
going to
have a
wrap it up.
Just for that.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, last couple PvP changes. Scories. Scories did get fixed.
Yeah.
For those wondering.
Can't sit there anymore.
Can't camp in trials. The change is actually pretty good. I think it's a nice balance between PvP and PvE. You need to hit kill before it activates. The only sort of criticism I have of it,
1 minute timers between.
1 minute timer. Yeah. I thought that was a little long, and there's actually no countdown.
They have to get a kill first, though.
You have to get a kill first, but if you think about it, like, you know, there are other, like Hot Swap and Chain of Woe where you can actually see a timer, and so there's a visual indicator on screen to tell you how long that's going to be able to be infected. That would have been nice. But it is a nice compromise because trials rounds are only, you know,
would have been nice.
I was
going to
say
you can utilize it.
I was going to say for trials, I don't see it as a big deal.
It's not. But there was that somebody left it in the comments last week. They're like, oh, I can't stand it sometimes when PvP stuff or PvE gets nerfed on account of PvP. And this definitely is a nice compromise for both play types.
Yeah.
And having said that, the next big piece of puzzle was special ammo. That meta is still annoying.
It's fixed?
It's not back, but there's a nice fix where
you autofill
your special when you pick up the box. That is awesome.
How it should
I mean, someone's chasing you and you've got to reload once you get a box.
Just think about how contested boxes have always been, both heavy and special, like in PvP.
And when you play a heavy round, you go in there and you're like, okay, I'm just going to equip my rocket real quick in the run up and somebody's going to pull it and I'm going to shoot. That needs to be there for the special boxes. So that is a huge change.
That's what they changed.
And I'm glad that they
There's nothing worse when you like you're contesting for the box and then like you shoot a bunch of people and you clear it and you're like run up and you get it and then you pick it up
and then
you turn
reloading.
And there's someone shooting and you're like
it's the worst.
Yeah, you're just like this shotgun's got the slowest reload animation ever. So that was a good change.
All right, we're gonna do the outro now, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.